You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Glowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Sometimes in Cape Town, anyway. It seems to me that every time I call him these days, he's somewhere else. He's still in Stillby, as he was last week. And I'm still envious. Now, Skulk, quite a few things to talk about. Just wondering, which one shall I choose to start with to suit your purposes? Oh, yeah, look at that one. A four-letter word, but a really good one, gold. What a performance since we last spoke.
Yeah, good evening, Lindsay, and good evening to the listeners. Yeah, what a movement we've had. I mean, last week, this time around, we were chatting, we were saying, you know, we were sort of questioning the validity. I mean, we were questioning the move through the $2,100. And I still, you know, mentioned saying that, you know, don't be surprised if we move towards the $2,200 mark, because there's very good reasons why we've seen this movement in gold. Here we're sitting a week later, and it's just crazy to think we're approaching $2,300. And really interesting to note, I mean, I just literally sent out a tweet about 5 minutes ago to all the listeners. I'll tag you a little bit later, then the listeners can go and have a squirt. But
thank you.
Bottom line is, if you look at the gold price over the, and here I'm using ETFs, because everybody knows ETFs these days, and I'm using the largest gold ETF, namely the GLD, well known to everyone. GLD has moved in dollar terms 30% over the past 3 years. We know what it's done over the past, you know, month or two, but it's 30% up over a three-year period. But here's the really, really interesting, you know, part. We've seen great movement in companies like Anglo Gold and Gold Fields, and you know, I had the question this morning when we were in our morning meeting. Some of my colleagues in PSG, they asked me, you know, do I think that the gold still got some legs? I said, well, there's two questions to that, you know, or two answers to that question. The first one is, do I still think the gold price has got some legs? Well, you know, I think they're now starting to discount a lot of this news, that the weaker dollar, weaker data, these type of maybe a second tranche of inflation, maybe even stagflation. That, I mean, do we surpass the $2,300 mark? Do we go to $2,500? Do we even go to $3,500 like some crazy, crazy investors out there are now starting to predict?
Peter Schiff being one of them.
Yes, that's the one. I mean, it's just crazy. But we know Peter's stance on gold is, I mean, it's not a broken clock. He's had, you know, a few calls right, you know, previously, and you know, it seems like he's on track to have a second big one in the bag. But the gold miners are the interesting one, because when you look at the gold miners over the same period, and here I'm using, again, another ETF, VanEck Gold Miners. Look at all the largest gold mines in the world, and funny enough, two of South Africa's gold mines, Anglo Gold, Gold Fields, also find itself in the top 10 largest holdings. But this is the biggest gold mines in the world. When you look at the gold miners over the same three-year period, where the GLD has moved 30% positive, the miners are still trading 5% lower. I'm going to say this again. It's trading lower than 5 years, 3 years ago.
And that's international gold miners? International gold miners, yes. Or just South African
Correct.
Gold miners?
No. So, you know, international gold miners. And they're also priced in dollar terms. So, you know, as I tweeted, you know, this situation suggests that either Mr. Market is questioning the validity of the gold price surge, basically saying, we're calling BS. I don't think we're gonna see the gold price, you know, remain at current levels. Yeah. It should retrace. Let's call it, you know, your $1,900, $2,000 levels again, and all be fair in love and war. Way out thinking. Or we could see these gold miners having a massive, massive jump from current levels. And I'm talking, you know, 30 to 50% over a very, very short period. And I'm not basing this on guessing or technicals. I'm just purely basing on what these miners are mining is gold. that's trading 30% higher. Over the same period, they're trading 5% lower.
Yeah, there's a mismatch there somewhere, Skulk. There's a terrible mismatch there. And I've got lots of things I want to say, but I will say one thing. Supply and demand, when it comes to gold miners, is if you take the market capitalization of all the gold miners across the world, it's tiny compared to certain other sectors. And if someone just wants to get stuck into gold, some big manager, Vanguard, or what's the other one beginning with a B, BlackRock, then it really can get squeezed higher, very much higher as well. I mean, the gold, if there was a gold index of miners, what did you say it's called? The GLD?
Yeah, GLD is the actual gold price, and then GDX is the gold miners. I also followed a guy called David Brady. I don't know if you've heard of or follow his. Quite a big gold bull. I would definitely put him in the same category as a Peter Schiff. He goes under the Twitter handle at Global Pro Trader. I mean, he's been talking about this short squeeze by most of the banks for I would say many years now, and if that's the case, if we do have massive short squeezes in the underlying gold price, don't be surprised if the craziest Peter is right again. But anyway, be that as it may, you started off this conversation. It's lovely. I mean, they say even a broken clock is right twice a day.
This is
my time of the day.
This is exactly right, and I have to take credit. You have to take an enormous amount of credit because you've been bullish of gold. You've stuck to your guns even when it was looking a little bit shaky, and you've done well. And now all we need is the shares to catch up for you, there to be a bonanza for you and your PSG Wealth clients. Now, have you got a pencil and a piece of paper in front of you, or something, or have you got such a good memory you can remember the points that I've been jotting down while you've been gloating? The first one is, you said the word they said the two letters BS earlier on. I've got one as well, BS, blue sky, because if you give me credit as well, there was an X message I sent out a couple of months ago and said, if gold goes through this level now, if it can consolidate and then break higher, then there's just blue sky to the upside, and that's what we've seen. That's a technical issue. It doesn't hold much water, but it's one of my reasons. The other one is hedges, gold miners' hedges, that said, right, if gold goes through 2200, we've got to cover these hedges, and that propels the price higher as well. I'm sure there are gold miners out there that put a hedge in place, locking in a gold profits, but then it becomes expensive, and their bankers phone them up and say, you've got to cover these positions, whether they be options, futures, or whatever, structured products. The other one is geopolitics. It's suddenly getting a bit nasty. It's been nasty for a long time, but suddenly it's globally geopolitically nasty with the escalation of Israel and the Revolutionary Guard headquarters in Syria being bombed. And history tells us Iran is not going to sit back and take that. So there's going to be an escalation there. And also the other one I heard, which is a sort of an outsider in the field, is China is selling US treasuries and replacing that that part of their portfolio with gold. So lots to think about here.
Yeah, so your first point, your BS, blue sky. I remember distinctly. I mean, you called that one. I mean, you still referred to, in technical terms, where a price sort of form a base.
Yes.
It's usually where there's a prolonged period of these not lower lows, but just this base of where you say if it can remain at these type of levels, which you've done, and we see a breakout, this could be a serious breakout. So yeah, I think could this only be the start of the serious breakout? I think that's the one call. I think the second one is the hedges on the gold miners. I mean, listeners should know that these miners actually mine these gold, and as you mentioned, it's hedges they fix the prices, but also, historically, miners always, lived sort of on a day-to-day or month-to-month basis. Usually had higher debt levels, not really dividend-paying investments because they mine and they pay out. Nowadays, I mean, these gold mines has become extremely lucrative. I mean, they're sitting with free cash flow, massive amount of free cash flow, on the books. They're sitting with very, very little debt, and most of them are starting to pay pretty handsome dividends now. So you could just think what these miners are going to look like, you know, when they report. You know, most of the companies internationally report on a 3-monthly basis, so that's going to be interesting and going to give us some guidance on the locals. You know, the Anglo Golds and Goldfields Harmonies, Durban Ruderpoort Deep and Pan African Resources. I think it's going to look very, very interesting, and I do think that if the gold price stay at current levels, the miners or underlying miners is looking extremely attractive.
Yeah, bonanza, and hopefully they reward their long suffering in many cases shareholders and pay out some dividends and, you know, do the responsible thing. Don't use the money to go out and buy obscure gold deposits in some far flung part of the world, which they've been prone to in the past. They actually concentrate on what they're doing well with the money that they've got, and strengthen their balance sheets. That's what I hope for anyway. Just quickly on my geopolitics theory, I watch too much news, I think, so I get a little bit caught up in the whole negativity. But do you think there's a chance that people are saying this time it might be different, there could be something going on here?
Lindsay, it's escalating. I mean, that's the most important thing that you. I mean, it's 2 years ago we were sitting here and we were talking about how Russia and
Ukraine
and Ukraine. Yeah, here we go. That could be a weekend thing. You know, maybe a month at most. When here we're sitting 2 years later, and that. That is, you know, there's more parties involved now. Suddenly, you're getting ISIS bombing Moscow. I mean, a theater. I mean, you're getting this type of scenarios. Then you've got the whole Israel thing, which is escalating as well.
Yes.
I hope for calmness, but unfortunately, I watch the same news that you do, and it's definitely not. It's not good news. I think that is reflective in unfortunately in the gold price as well.
Yeah, and also just one other thing I'm thinking of with the oil price being elevated and potentially going higher because of future potential, as I use that word again, potential tensions in the Middle East spreading, then the oil price is, of course, going to go through $100 a barrel, and the oil producers will have so much money, and they love gold, and they have historically loved gold. Okay, Skulk, we've devoted the first 13 minutes of this podcast to gold, and it was worth every minute of it. But let's move on now to other markets, and I'll start with the spot prices, where the dollar rand is 18.71, so it's a nice move for the rand. The euro rand is 20.25, and the British pound against the rand is 23.62, with the euro dollar 108.25, British pound against the US dollar 126.25. The gold price, 22.83, nice move. Platinum is also pretty good to the upside. $9.47, up $25 an ounce. And where's palladium? $10.30 per ounce, which is a good move also, $37 higher. As for the CRB index, I've somehow deleted it. But anyway, what have you got for the oil price there, Skalk? If at all, because it'll take me ages to find the CRB here.
let me get that one for you. The oil price currently is, well, Brent oil currently trading at 89.77, so that is up 1% for today. And when you look at, let me see where. No, I've only got your Brent.
That's Brent okay. Brent's enough. It's just below $90 a barrel. I've got it up now. And over to the States, after some pretty good European inflation numbers, only coming in at 2.4% for CPI in Europe, and I think that's buoyed all the markets because the S&P 500, after a bad day yesterday, 52.79, and that is up around about a third of a percent. Moving on to the capital markets, the South African 10-year 10.85%, the US 10-year has been suffering of late, and a little bit more today as well, 4.39%. Bitcoin, which has had a fantastic run, but I've had a horrible couple of days, stabilizing a bit, 66,363, which is up 2.3%. How about the JSE? Any corporate news? I see Life Healthcare paid a massive dividend.
Yeah, it was an ex-div day, Lindsay. It was a massive ex-div day because we had someone with a 4 rand, final dividend. We had Life Healthcare with that business that they sold. That's a 6 rand special divvy. We had Mondi that shed a 9 rand 56 dividend, and also AACI 1 rand 19 dividend. So yeah, it was a big day for a lot of these dividend payers.
Good. My top five look like this. Thungela up 2.25%. Glencore up just over 2%. MC Group. Yeah, this thing keeps on going. It's almost as though they're digging their heels in and saying, you want this, if shareholders that is, you're going to have to pay up for it, because it's around about 114 Rand a share, up just over 2%. And Spar.
Let's stop there, Lindsay. Yeah. Let's stop there. I think it's a valid point you're making. And remember, you know, where Channel Play started, you know, buying multi-choice, in a 120, 125 Rand level. So I think, you know, and this is just my opinion. I know nothing, you know, naturally, but I think it's going to happen. I mean, because they've committed themselves to buying these shares. They own, you know, the majority of the shares now. And I think they took a bit of a chance on that. What was it, 109 Rand, 105 Rand, you know, offer that they had. I think that they took a bit of a chance. And Mr. Market said, no, you're not going to do that. But I think ultimately now it's just, you know, where's the price going to actually be? I mean, yes. I think they're gonna buy multi-choice. But yeah, let's see. You know, stranger things has happened and not happened. So
certainly,
so let's see,
it's what people used to say. It's in play at the moment. Life Healthcare, as we said, because of the special dividend, having sold off a division, 37% down. Sanlam, 6% down because of a divvy as well. African Rainbow Minerals, 4.4%. Is that also a dividend story?
African Rainbow Minerals, no. That's a strange one.
That is, yeah, 4.4%. Yeah.
It's XDF.
There we go. Montauk Renewables are down 4.3% and Karoo down 3.75%. Any other shares that ruffled your feathers today, Skulk?
No. I think we covered them all. all five of the gold stocks. I think I'm actually quite surprised we haven't seen much larger movement from Sasol. It did recover somewhat from its lows, but you know, after you and I discussed the oil price and the recent movements in the oil prices as well, and I know Sasol is not a pure oil play anymore, but still I would have thought that Sasol would have reacted a little bit more, but still very much at these distress levels which we've seen in you know.
Give us the closing JSE Securities Exchange indices, please, Skulk, and of course the all-important value traded.
So the JSE All Share closed the day at 74,098 points. It's down 45 basis points. Resources, naturally, with a little help from the golds. Actually, positive, 56 basis points in the green. Industrials down 41 basis points, while financials is down 1.1%. Even though the SA, you know, property stocks were struggling today, they were down 36 basis points. When we look at the value trade, not a bad day. I mean, we can clearly see that the autumn break is now something of the past. We've had the first, you know, over 20 billion value trade for today. Today traded 20.5 billion. You know, for today, which is like I said, it's the highest trade we've seen in quite a few weeks. So yeah, that's looking good. When we look at the US currently, you know, looks like it they're struggling a bit on that side. They're waiting for Powell. Wait a minute. I see they've changed now. They're actually now in the green. When we look at Nasdaq 59 basis points positive. Good. S&P 500, 42 basis points positive, and the Dow Jones, 20 basis points positive. Remember, Powell is going to speak, I think, in the next hour, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're expecting him to give his speech 6 or 6:30 our time. So definitely something to watch out for tonight.
Jolly good. We'll do so. Skulk, thank you very much for your time this evening. Please drive safely back to Cape Town from Stillby. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, and Skulk Lewis from PSG Wealth, Old Oak Division in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.